Welcome to Animates. In our programs, we endeavour to bring you a range of stories on animals that we celebrate for their contribution to our lives, as companions, teachers, as physical and psychological supporters of us all. Today, we will celebrate one of our favourite animals, horses. We will have an interview with Nicole King from Riding for the Disabled, known as RDA New South Wales, a wonderful voluntary organisation that provides educational and social programs for tiny tots to adults with disabilities at one of RDA's Sydney properties, Tall Timbers, at Nelson in northwestern Sydney.
Thanks for joining us, Nicole. I've got a couple of questions for you, beginning with this one. Can you tell us how and where Riding for the Disabled started and what needs were identified to cause it to be founded and who actually founded it? I know that's three questions in one, isn't it? Go for it.
I'll start at the beginning. So RDA is actually happens around the world. And in Australia, there's different states started at different times. But for New South Wales, it began in 1972. Pearl Batchelor was the original founder, along with some colleagues, Nan Everingham. And they actually went overseas with Pony Club and saw RDA happening over there, and came back to Australia and thought that they wanted to introduce it back here. So Pearl started with her property and riding school, Tall Timbers, and they started offering programs for people with disabilities back then in 1972, and from there it's just grown. We look at the programs on an individual basis and work out what their aims are of participating, so what the individual wants, what their carers, what their teachers are looking for their interaction to achieve, and then based on the experiences that we have, we then look at ways of achieving some of those goals.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you would offer an ongoing program for some clients, I imagine.
We try to, but it's very difficult to try and fit everybody in. So our programs are a weekly program for a semester. So that's basically around 18 weeks. So the riders or participants will come in and participate in that program on a weekly basis.
And that would help them, those with physical disabilities, presumably with motor skills and this kind of thing, and probably for, I would imagine, perhaps for autistic kids, interacting with animals.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, would assist.
Yeah, definitely. The program activities are the ones that will help everyone in a different way. So for physical disabilities, we look at their balance and coordination and doing some fine and gross motor skill work. For riders with autism, it's about the social participation and getting to know their horse and getting their confidence in new environments and just really learning to be part of the environment in a positive way.
So they get to work with the same horse each time. That would be excellent, yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely. We try to keep it...
Build up a relationship.
Yeah, they can build up their relationship with their horse. They have something that's theirs that, you know, they can talk about with their family or communicate with their family about their horse, and it helps with the confidence building as well. If they're going through the same routine and same horse and things like that. Particularly the mounted programs do look at the real horse care. The riding programs look at, we do some grooming and some feeding and as well as the riding components, so learning about turning left and turning right and stopping and going, and as well as the games that are based around the fine and gross motor skills.
What's your student, do you call them trainers, your staff? What's the ratio between the students and trainers when you're actually doing a class as such?
So we have mostly we have coaches, and it's mostly 6-to-1. So six riders for one coach, and that's in most of our programs. Some of our programs, such as the TOTS program, has a lower ratio, so it might be an individual coach to rider one-on-one, Or it could go up to 1 to 3 riders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It just depends on the rider's needs.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So how do you select your coaches, your teachers, and what kind of training do they receive?
So the coaches really come from our volunteer base, and they've had experience in the volunteering side of it and interacting with the riders and the horses in that sense. Really, it's about someone wanting to learn about riding and being a coach. Most of them have some experience with horses or teaching before they come and before they start to want to start the training. It's something that, you know, it complements their existing experience. So out of our coaches here, we've got some that have just a horse experience or horse background, and they've come into RDA and been able to learn all about the disability side of it and the education side of it. We've had teachers that have come in that have a little bit of horse experience, that have learnt to all the skills around both sides of it. We've got therapists, speech therapists background that have learnt the horse disability education side of it. So everyone brings individual skills and a different tact, I think, and I think that's how it makes everyone a good team.
What are some of the volunteer positions? If someone listening would be interested in helping out, what kind of jobs would you be able to offer people, or are you oversubscribed?
Every day is different. We have we have differing levels of volunteers coming throughout the week. So every day is different. We've got lots of variety in terms of volunteer roles, from helping out with the classes. We've got a gardening team and looking at just maintaining the grounds that we have here. We have a unmounted program that has volunteers assisting in that. We also have opportunities for people to do things like fundraising and organise our events.
Mm-hmm. Now, big question. How do you actually source the horses? I imagine they'd have to have some sort of special, I guess, personalities to be able to do this kind of work. How do you find them, and how do you assess an animal to see whether it qualifies?
Yeah, we find them in lots of places and lots of ways. We often have people ringing in and offering their horse for assessment. So it might be a retired pony club horse that the rider's moved on to another horse, so they want to find it a home. Or we'll actually look through classifieds and find them out in the open market.
Okay.
So there's both of those avenues of where we look. And then we go and have a look at them in their home environment and just take each horse for their own unique personality and work out if it's something that would be suitable in our environment.
Okay. And then does it get special training once it's arrived with RDA?
Yeah, definitely. We put them through a suitability process, and we assess them at different stages in their training, get them used to our environment, get them used to our games and activities, our mounting procedures, and then we do some training in a mock environment. So we might conduct a class with a few existing horses and the new horse, and then we might also put them into a class with an able-bodied rider in a RDA class, just for them to get the exposure to the different environment there.
Yeah. And presumably you might have to use a hoist or something for certain riders, and a horse would have to be obviously okay with that.
Yeah, some of our centres do have hoists. We don't actually have one here at Tall Timbers.
Okay.
But some of our centres do have hoists, and, yeah, there's definitely special training to go through for that.
So you mentioned that you match horses with riders or riders with horses and build a friendship. How do you actually go about that? What do you look for in a horse or in a person, you know, that would match them together? Have you got an example, perhaps, you can give us?
The big thing it comes down to is knowing the horse's personalities and what they like to do, what they're like in our environment. So our coaches are aware of our horse's likes and personality, I guess. And then on our, we have an orientation day, which is before our program begins, and that orientation day is getting to know the riders. So we get to know how they are in their new environment at RDA, and we assess them on our wooden horse for their balance and mounting and just being in this environment, following instructions, communication. And then we'd make a, I guess it's a gut feel match between the rider's physical needs, the rider's ability to interact positively with the horses, and also look at the horses and match them up from there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not always an exact science, but...
I can imagine.
Getting to know the horses is the number one thing in that process. And then, we just try to get to know the riders as much as possible in that first day. And then you never know if it, if it's not an ideal fit, we might rearrange them for the second ride. But usually we're pretty close to getting them right.
So, by the way, how many horses have you got up at Tall Timbers?
At Tall Timbers at the moment, we've got 14 in the program.
Okay. Now, if anyone with a disability or their family wanted to get in touch with you, presumably that's best done through your website. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've got the website.
Do you want to give the web address for our listeners?
So depending on where they are, there's the New South Wales website, which is www.rdansw.org.au. And then that will direct them to the... there's a tab there for regional centres.
Okay.
And then they can find their local centre. So our email address is talltimbers@rdansw.org.au.
Now, last question about your funding. How are you funded? How's RDA funded?
Predominantly, the centres are funded through fundraising and donations.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you like this radio station, very much welcome donations.
Yeah,
Nicole King,
right.
Thank you so much. That was very interesting. I've learned something.
That's good.
And I'm sure our listeners have too.
That's great. Thank you very much for having us.